you'd have a county commissioner or a county administrator who would do that too. We just don't, we as the county don't want to be in the business of setting up a parking lot for trucks, because that's the free market that does that, right? But somebody else could do it. And the city could lease 10 acres and have a security fence and a security gate. A lot of these people, it's a lifestyle choice, and I fully respect that. It's just not allowed in that zone.
Well, then it would come under Corbin Police Department's controls too.
If it's in the city, that Space Age Industrial Properties outside the city, it's kind of unusual that, so that would still be county. Good ideas, though.
Your property being off long ways away from home, if they parked it out there in that Space Age Industrial, there wouldn't be any way in the world of controlling what happened to it when it was parked out there.
It would have to be a secure fence.
Yeah. And a night watchman RV or mobile home, so somebody is monitoring it. I did several of those in Umatilla County in an industrial zone where somebody lives there. It's a tall fence, razor wire, a shop that people can use. It's just, we hear from the folks who are in violation, but we also hear from the folks who bought property there who don't want to live next to a trucking operation. And that's what the zoning says. It's a residential zone.
I mean, ultimately, most of this produce, in one way or another, supports the port. So it seems like the port would help facilitate encouraging someone to set up a business to give these people a place to park.
Just to clarify, if we were able to arrange, or the city, if the group got together and arranged a place with the city, we would still allow them to drive one truck home, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's super important. Yeah. That's a code amendment that you adopted. We actually allowed it in the past. We just made sure it was clear in the code that that might be their only mode of transportation is a 10-wheeler, and they can drive that back and forth. But that's a single one.
Okay.
Right.
So yeah. That's down the road. Mm-hmm. They can work this out in the next 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a way for them to get home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Any additional? So if we decide to approve, we would these nine add the sunset clause of the end of the permit?
Yes.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Do we need to put anything about the additional trucks being removed?
I'm not sure if we should treat that as a condition of approval, but just make it explicit that this is for on their private property, that parking additional trucks in the right-of-way is not allowed. So that would be considered a violation.
And they haven't asked for trailers, they haven't asked for semis.
Mm-hmm. It's only the 10-wheelers. Yeah.
Well, I guess the semis are 10-wheelers.
Oh, sorry, yeah, not a tractor.
So that they understand if they park the trucks alongside the road, that would be a violation in a year when the permit was up.
Might not get renewed if they violate
that. What if that's the truck they're driving home?
But they park on the property, maybe.
Welcome to, yeah. Yeah. I think I put this as a condition. I just have to get access permit. Yeah.
And do we need to have the condition of the septic drain field checked?
Yeah, that is the condition.
Yeah.
We want the revised site plan to show where the drain field is. Yeah. It's not a perfect world. It's not a perfect fix.
All right. Any additional questions, comments?
I do have a question. Are all 8 trucks running the entire month of harvest?
Did you hear that question?
What is the sense?
Bourbon.
Yes.
Bourbon. Did you say Bourbon?
Irvin. Mm-hmm. So Irvin, did you hear the question? Are all 8 of those trucks running and operable?
Yes.
Okay.
Not at the moment right now. They're not working right now, but they're going to start soon, here soon.
Okay.
Okay. With that, any additional questions?
Does that mean that they're broke down right now and you're waiting on maintenance or waiting for harvest to start up again?
Yeah, and harvest haven't started.
Okay. Because it said August. Mm-hmm. August is August.
Yeah.
We should wait for her.
I don't know if in this I clarified what the season is. I suppose it could come back and say the season is 12 months out of the year.
I thought it was in there somewhere.
Did I see it
it's
in there? Okay.
It's in his application.
Okay. So, is it fair to say you haul potatoes and onions and that's a 4 to 6 week season?
Yeah, well, they just onion. We don't haul potatoes.
Just onion. And is the season 4, 6, or 8 weeks?
It depends. It's usually just 1 month, less than a month. Last year we finished probably like in 26 days.
Okay.
So it's just maybe it can take a little bit more than a month, probably like a few days more than a month, but it's been taking less than a month.
Okay. Seems to me, I'm not that business person, that's a lot of capital tied up to run trucks for 1 month out of the year.
I want to use a combine too.
That's right.
$1 million.
All right. Thank you. Any additional?
So, what are the conditions that we have?
So, all of them are as presented, and okay. What page in your packet is it?
16.
Are the conditions, except the one, we can wordsmith any of them. The last one is at the end of the permit, if the trucks remain and are in violation, the landowner will be issued a citation, not a warning.
I think that's fair enough.
Mm-hmm. So 1 year, right? Is that what we're doing? Is it a 2 year extension?
So,
is it a one and one and one?
Yes. And also for clarification, we were assuming that staff could authorize the extension unless you want this to come back to you. I think Landon asked that last time. So if there are no complaints as staff, we could authorize it to continue?
Yeah, without complaints.
Without complaints. Okay. I'll make a note of that. So if we do have complaints, we'll bring it back to you. Okay.
And at the end of the day, the 1,000th day, does that just sunset and doesn't come back in front of us?
That's right. I suppose technically they could reapply, but the whole idea is that in the next 2 or 3 years we find a permanent fix for it.
Yeah. I feel like we're kicking the can, but I think it's the best thing to do.
It puts pressure to,
yeah, absolutely. To
do something.
Well, obvious people are trying to find a remedy, so
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I would make a motion to approve CUP N-371-24 with the agreed upon conditions.
Second.
Do you have a second?
Yeah, Carl.
Brian made motion, it's been second. Any additional questions? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We'll send out a letter later this week for you. So, okay.
Did you hear it?
Stephen will probably go in and tell him.
Yeah, I have a couple minutes to go in there and secure that room.
Okay, thank you, Stephen.
Chair, I apologize. In the past, when Mackenzie was trying to look through the minutes, when she's trying to determine who made the motion, who made the second, would you mind just stating the name of who made the second? That would be really helpful. Thank you.
I'm done. Did you get a letter in the mail for the approval letter to call the conditions of approval on it?
Okay. Is it good?
Yeah. Okay. So then if you guys have any questions, just get them on the phone. I'll put the letter in like the next couple days, okay?
Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Stephen, can you mute that room, please?
Yeah, we're working on it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I know.
And the other thing.
It's a Band-Aid,
yeah. It's a contract.
Yeah. So how about you?
That's been perfect. Because the thing is, too, the one thing, you have to carry insurance the whole time. That's the other reason why they don't want to work on their premises. Because they need the insurance off when they're done. And they're going to be, and times will be required to keep it on.
Was it even the son or son-in-law?
Insuring?
It was the son-in-law.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be the only.
You could, but with that many, you'd have to pay.
Okay, I think we're ready for the next one.
That might be the best record business ever, though.
So.
So every day you run one, you lose more money, so only 26 days is probably.
Can you show the names that are online? Is anybody else online?
Oh, sure.
You can write that down.
I have one truck that starts it whenever he leaves for work, and I want him to move it. My husband drives it. All right, moving on to our next hearing, land use decision, LUD N6824, Amazon Data Services, Inc., owner, Integris, applicant. Let's call for any abstentions, ex parte, contacts, or conflicts.
PFEIS is Steve Pfeiffer.
Okay, hearing done. Is it you?
It's me.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good evening, Chair.
Good.
Do you want me to jump in?
Yeah.
Yep. Thank you. Daisy Goble, Principal Planner for the record. This application is a land use decision for a new data center campus that's been proposed out to the airport, the Boardman Airport, or adjacent to the Boardman Airport. And typically, as you know, land use decisions would go to the Planning Commission, and because data centers are use allowed outright, they would not be typically something that you guys would see. But what we've struggled with recently is determining, when it comes to subjective standards, what level of additional review is required. So with this one, we had some challenges with their traffic impact analysis. We went back and forth quite a bit and hired a consultant firm who I believe is on the call to help evaluate their transportation impact analysis. And at the end of the day, after some back and forth and bringing in ODOT and our public works director, who is lovely and came today, we just decided that the best way to handle it would be to bring it to a public hearing and have you guys make a determination that would also help guide us in future decisions of this caliber. So this project location is southwest of the Boardman Airport on the map up there. It's bordered by the Union Pacific Railroad to the west. And the proposal is going to include just a typical data center campus with four single-story data center buildings, totaling about 1 million square feet, and then a security building, fencing, a pretty large stormwater evaporation pond, and a wastewater evaporation pond. And Stephen, if you can share the site plan, you can kind of see how that's laid out on the site. Perfect. So that square at the top is the industrial wastewater pond, and then there's also, I believe, a 5-acre stormwater evaporation pond. That one's at 12 acres.
That's 12 acres.
This one is?
That one's 5 acres.
What is the septic? Where's the on-site septic?
The on-site septic is going to be on the easier to see online.
Where's the septic? Up there, Stephen?
Yeah, and it says septic holding tanks right here.
Okay.
So the southeast corner of the stormwater pond, or the north pond.
Yeah, the north pond is the stormwater evaporation pond.
What page are you
on? Page 38 of the packet.
How many acres does one of these take? I'm sorry, but
the site is about 130 acres or 100 acres.
106.89 acres.
Thank you.
So most of our standards related to this, since it's an out right use, are just pretty cut and dry, parking, lighting, those sorts of things. And we did give opportunity to comment to ODAV and the other agencies that are listed in the packet. And kind of, as I said at the outset, our primary concern and the reason why we felt that this rose to the level of subjectivity to necessitate a public hearing was that the traffic impact analysis was fairly intensive, and we, after much back and forth, came to the determination that in our recommendation, we're not requiring mitigation at this time because it doesn't trigger the Oregon Department of Transportation's failing level to require additional mitigations. So the conditions, the proposed conditions of approval are included on page 35. And one of the other things that we wanted to include for your review, and as we know, we're kind of in the middle of this code update, and this is, of course, going to be reviewed under the current code standards, but one of the things that we've gone back and forth on is at what point you're going to be requiring state agency permits, particularly DEQ permits for stormwater and industrial wastewater. And they've requested that we defer that condition of approval to occupancy or operation rather than what we would typically want, which is prior to zoning permit or prior to construction. So we've included two alternative language options for the Planning Commission to consider. The first is that the applicant shall provide evidence that all applicable state agency permits have been granted for the planned on-site water, wastewater, and septic facilities. Or as this alternative, the Planning Commission could include a condition that allows the deferral of some of those permits. And the concern that was raised by the applicant was that they just take a long time. Mm-hmm.
Just a quick question. We were going to have DEQ come in, right, and kind of walk us through that language.
Yeah. I don't know if anyone from DEQ was able to make it. We did invite them, and they said they would make an attempt to have an employee on the call.
And I don't see anybody from DEQ there.
And we specifically had requested that for
the next part.
The next part for the code amendment as well. So we can get a more broad idea of how these policies, when it makes sense for us to apply these standards generally. Since our code doesn't have a really clear point for us to say that, that's why we've included the two alternatives for the Planning Commission to consider.
So say that again, the language you said about possibly having them show that they are going to be able to. Mm-hmm. That's good. Say that again.
Yeah, so after receiving a land use decision, there's two additional stages of review. The final review for the planning department is the ministerial zoning permit, which doesn't go out for notice. It doesn't go to the Planning Commission. It's just all our opportunity to check the box that it meets all of the clear and objective standards and the conditions of approval have been met. And then after we've finished the zoning permit approval, it goes to the building department in Boardman. And then they will approve the building permits. And at that stage, after all the building permits are approved and then they construct it, there's a certificate of occupancy that's granted. And because it's our last sort of, it's not a land use review, but it's our last opportunity to check the condition boxes, we always wanted to include those conditions at the zoning permit stage. But recently, just because these permits do take so long, we've gotten a lot of pushback on that and a lot of requests for that to be deferred until because they typically turn around right after they get their zoning permit and get their building permit. And so they've asked for us to defer that as a condition of approval until after it's constructed and then before they get their certificate of occupancy.
I have a question about that though. I mean, I've been involved with construction projects before, and sometimes your well or your septic doesn't get approved. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you have to make changes in your plans and all that. So why would we do that?
That's a great question.
I mean, we as a group denied the possibility of ADUs based on septic systems being in Boardman area. So here we're allowing free rein on whatever septic they can put in, mm-hmm. just because they have more money than everything else. And I don't think it's a fair or equitable decision to make.
I think that, Chair?
Yes.
I think the applicant, when they speak, will talk about their septic, and I thought I knew a fair amount about them, but I learned an awful lot. So the normal septic system you would have for a household is what we typically deal with. This is called a large on-site septic facility, and it's they have to do a groundwater study before it can get approved by DEQ, and they have to renew that permit annually, and DEQ does inspection. So it's a lot more robust than a normal domestic septic system. That's about all I can say. That's also why we wanted DEQ here to answer that question, because we said, that's 200 or so employees using a septic system. And it is that permitting process with DEQ.
When they're operating or during construction?
I'm sorry, what?
When they're operating, there's 200 employees?
You can ask. I mean, that's kind of generally the number per campus.
Yeah, they're not flushing toilets during construction. They're typically having a, like a pump and hauler at outhouses, basically.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is that it? Yeah, and I appreciate your responses on that.
Since our public works director is here, which is great, could we invite him as part of the staff report rather than agency? So Eric's been great when he has time to work with us on these. That's great.
Yeah. Right, sit next to you over there.
Oh, you sure can. Or you can sit up there. So, as Daisy said, we had a third-party traffic engineer take a look at it. And
he's on the call, so.
Yeah, he's also on the call. So, do you want to talk about what the proposed mitigation or lack thereof, what do you think about that?
Yeah, so I mean, with this particular project, I don't have a lot of concerns. I would like to hear from our contractor what I didn't get to see that report. My issue isn't necessarily this particular project, it's cumulative projects in that area. So I don't have a concern for this particular project, but I just want the commission to know that I do have concerns about the cumulative effects there down the road. There's a lot going on there, and there's a lot more coming. And that's my concern, not with this particular project, but I'll be watching. And then also, just in the TIA that was proposed, I don't have it in front of me, but I would like to see the surveys done in August rather than any other time of year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, when it makes the most sense for our region with harvest and that. So I can't remember when the survey was done. I think it was October, but. And that's okay this time. I just want the commission to know what I'm looking at, and my concerns are more for the future. So, but I would like to hear from the contract engineer.
And they're on the call, so it's Scott, and that could be part of our staff report also, if that works for you.
Yeah.
Scott Mentz or from DKS could probably summarize their review of the traffic impact analysis.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, DKS, on behalf of Umatilla County, reviewed the traffic study submitted by the applicant. And typically, these data centers do not have a significant amount of trip generation, just based on the number of employees. And the analysis that was done, our initial review evaluated it, and we provided some comments. ODOT also reviewed it. Taking into account the I-84 interchange in the vicinity, and both DKS and ODOT didn't have any major concerns based on the levels of traffic that were estimated to be generated from this site. The bigger concerns in some ways were actually the construction traffic, and there was a condition of approval provided that they're going to kind of coordinate that the construction traffic and make sure that there isn't significant delays and impacts and safety related issues from the construction related traffic and the number of trucks that would be accessing this site. I'm happy to answer any other questions as well.
I'll just say, from a rural perspective, 1,000 trips per day is a lot of traffic, but compared to a fast food restaurant, that's probably not a lot. anyway, it exceeds our 400 trip per day threshold, which means that the TIA is a requirement. So.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, just in comparison to, say, a fast food or a McDonald's, in the peak hours, and that's typically when our analysis is done, we look at the peak period of the day when the most traffic is going to be on the roadway network. And at that time, they're estimating around 40 to 50 peak hour trips in that period. And if you compare that to like a McDonald's, it's about a quarter of the amount of trips to many similar retail developments.
So just one of the conditions that Daisy included was a road use agreement with approved by the Public Works Director to address construction traffic. And has that been?
They're waiting on me.
Okay.
So it's, you know, with issues at Public Works right now, I'm just slow, and they're being patient, but yes, we are working together. The ball is in my court.
Do you mind if I ask a question of him? It's semi-related. There's another huge data center planned down Tower Road. Are the construction time frames the same?
I'm sorry, which project are you referring
to?
The
one that the mega center that we approved down the road down out there.
Out at the coal fire plant?
Yes.
We don't know yet.
I haven't heard about.
So,
I remember talking about that project a year ago.
Yep.
Okay.
We don't know when they're coming in to get their permit to start.
So that would be the same road.
That's what I mean. That's my concern, the cumulative effect of multiple projects. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there a way for us to control the timing? Is there a way for that?
No. I mean, our review is look at this in each individual project at the time they submit their application.
Well, that could be
and the nth person really gets dinged. I mean, when you're over that threshold, or
sure.
You could build in, you know, phase in mitigation. But then the next project might not have the same level
of.
So,
how many are proposed out at the airport? Is just this one right now?
This one right now.
Just this one. Yeah.
We think there are two more.
And this is not Port Property, right?
It is Port Property. Unless they've sold it to, it was Port Property. Yeah, it's now owned by Amazon Data Services.
It says it was J.R. Zukin Corp. I forgot who owns it.
Amazon owns it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Do you mind if I make a comment just about Tower Road in general?
Mm-hmm.
It's fairly dangerous and fairly busy without all this going on. I just would like to know that what can, I mean, I have a husband that travels to it every single day, so I'm a little concerned, but, you know.
I have my concerns, too. It will be a complaint-driven situation, and so far, the developers have worked with, as far as the county right-of-ways is concerned, have all been very helpful if there's been issues. I really haven't had a whole lot of trouble, whether it's dust blowing across the road or, hey, you know, this was the plan for this intersection, but it's not working out. We need to do something different. I've had good luck so far. They want to play nice. I really haven't had a whole lot of issues. So it would just be dealing with it at the time. And what avenue do I have? I mean, if there's a major safety issue going on out there, and I'm just going from shooting from the hip here, I'd have to go out and flag it and bill somebody until it's figured out.
Okay, so yeah. There is a recourse.
There absolutely is a recourse. Okay. Ultimately, I'm responsible for the safety of the motoring public, so I'll do whatever has to take place and rent light equipment, get it flagged until the situation is taken care of.
So does Eric have any standing in requesting that the studies be done in August? Is that something that we can
He had requested that our TIA actually allows for a seasonal adjustment factor. So we can say if you do it in October, then let's look at the history of the road and what percentage is that on average in comparison to the typical peak month. And so we can't require them to wait a whole year before doing trip counts again, but typically, but we can say, okay, we can look at this and say it's likely to be 20% higher in August, so adjust your traffic data by 20%, which they did after Eric's request include a seasonal adjustment factor, so in their follow-up memo. So that was accounted for, and even with the seasonal adjustment factor, it's still not anticipated to trigger a failure of that intersection. And I will note too, in response to Commissioner Killian's comments, we are also working on multiple traffic projects. We've got the Tower Road interchange. IAMP is a project that's going to get going soon. We just finished up the intergovernmental agreement for that with ODOT, so we'll be able to do a more comprehensive look at that intersection and our plans moving forward based on the current situation out there and where we expect it to go. So definitely a great opportunity for commissioners and the public to get involved in voicing those concerns and being involved in trying to mitigate and solve those issues.
And the interchange area management plan is an opportunity to kind of micro design, if you will, how that intersection functions and what the access controls might be. And ODOT obviously has a vested interest because they have the intersection. So once that's complete, we might have an additional layer of tools to kind of help manage the traffic movement in that area.
Yeah.
There's another elephant in the room, if you will. ODOT is... Eric can report on this, but they're scheduled to do when that deck maintenance?
Yeah, they're going to replace the deck on that interchange there.
I was just going to say that. Have you been there? It's a mess.
I believe 2026 is the time frame. So we've been working with ODOT on that as well, and the board, and planning, and just recently talking about detours and how that's going to look. So we're working on that as well.
I have a feeling my house is going to be very busy for a while.
Yeah, we're not sure how they're going to do alternative access when they close that down. It's going to be...
They're looking at westbound traffic going all the way down to, is it the 3 mile exit? Right. To come back to the truck stop or any equipment coming from east to west. Most of the stuff's going to be coming west to east. They'll be able to get off the freeway, no problem. But then get back on, they'll have to go the Boardman exit across freeway and back.
Mm-hmm. Not through City of Boardman.
No, correct.
I do have another question for you. Do they have to use paved roads? Because there's a lot of roads out there on that farm.
I'm going to say no.
Okay. I'm just saying it might be an option.
I don't know ODOT's stance on that. But
yeah.
Okay. It's going to get a lot busier before.
I know.
How much land is out there that's suitable for this kind of development?
Thousands
at the
of
airport?
Acres. Oh, at the airport?
Yeah.
I'd have to do a quick map. But the space age industrial zoning, somebody could permit a data center on that also. And there's a couple thousand acres of that out there.
I was just going to add, there was a concern about the safety of Tower Road, and we did pull the last 5 years of crash data and compared that to what was presented in the traffic study. And from wrecks and crashes that are related to or documented, Tower Road is operating safely when you compare it to other similar roadways with the classification and amount of traffic. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Key word is documented.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah,
he handles it.
There's just options to make those subsequent or
I can also answer additional questions about that with the state agency permits. It's something we've had a little bit of discussion about prior, and something that will continue in our the next action. But that's basically the gist of it. Is we have the opportunity to require them to provide state agency permit prior to zoning permit approval, or to defer that condition of approval to occupancy. And we have also been saying, we'd like to see some evidence that this is likely to be permitted, or that there's, a reasonable likelihood or expectation that the design will come to fruition. And with us, we're not the experts, and it's hard to open that Pandora's box and not when we're not like septic system engineers or DEQ permitting agents. So it's kind of a tricky line to walk, and the way our code is structured now, it's not extremely clear on where our responsibility is to require those. But I think this is a great opportunity to see sort of in practice how these code amendments implicate actual development.
So if I might, condition G, Daisy opened the door for some language there. Again, up until this most recent, you know, deep dive into how our code works and looking at urban development outside the urban growth area, which is new for us. Our code is very rural. Typically what we say is you show us you've got all those state agency permits and we'll sign our very final piece, which is a zoning permit. And they've convinced us that the advance time, sometimes a year to get certain permits, and it's not ever our intention to slow that down. So what Daisy explained earlier, and we could wordsmith this with your permission, is that for those three major permits, from two from DEQ and one from OWRD, we just need something in the record that says it's likely that they can comply, and then we can issue the zoning permit, but the building official does not issue the certificate of occupancy until that's done. Until it's done. And that seems reasonable. It was out of how we normally do things, but it works for us.
Makes sense.
And they're spending millions or tens of millions of dollars. They're not going to put something somewhere they're not going
to
get it.
Yeah, and so to Commissioner Killian's point, we asked that same question, really, almost exactly. And they said, you know, we're not going to start construction if we don't think it's really highly likely that we can build a system that meets those requirements. And then if they don't...
Oh, you have a lot of pain. Sorry. I know, I shouldn't be so cynical. I'll work on that, you guys.
No, it's you're representative of the public, so...
All right. At this time, I'll invite the applicant to present testimony.
Thank you, Scott.
Hi.
There's Megan.
Sorry I couldn't make it there today. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay, great. So my name is Megan Lynn. I have a little cold, so sorry if I sound funny. I'm from Perkins Coie, business address of 1120 Northwest Coue Street, Portland, 97209. I'm appearing on behalf of Amazon Data Services. And I'm here just to talk about some of the conditions of approval that you've heard about. I guess one of my first questions is for probably Daisy or Tamara, and that's, I got an email saying that some comments that came in from ODOV address conditions, I believe it's...
Aviation.
Okay.
I apologize. If Stephen could actually pull that up. I've put together a redline version that clarifies,
okay.
Sorry, I should have touched on that, but that clarifies some of those conditions related to aviation, because there are some concerns about the specificity and authority to impose those. So Stephen, there should be like a red line version.
ODAV is Oregon Department of Aviation.
Yes.
Yeah.
It should be the red line version for the conditions of approval.
Oh, what is he pulling?
This is
the
one.
That's for the next one.
The Planning Commission has a copy of that, the paper copy. No, this is just put together like.
It's not the TIA review, right?
No.
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 Oh.
Is it in the S drive?
Yeah.
Is Megan sending it?
I don't know. It was a little bit. So DAV didn't actually submit comments until after the...
And so is it just a modified condition for this piece?
Yeah, no, it's just the pond and the conditions B and C, I believe.
So, yeah, Megan, Daisy has some modifications to conditions B and C. That's what we're trying to pull up here.
I apologize for not touching on that during my staff report.
Yeah, no worries. I kind of thought we'd just see him here, so...
Thank you.
Baby, which file is this? Do you see this?
I thought you had it pulled up earlier.
I find it too, and I can't find it.
I can't even read that. I'm trying to see it.
It might have been a Word document.
Is it the edit?
Yeah, that's it.
Nice. Oh, great, you found it. Right there.
Yeah, can you zoom in a little bit?
Okay.
please.
Thank you, Susan.
There we go.
Nice.
I give it right. Perfect. So yeah, so these two pieces just clarify it, because there was some pretty broad language that I put in there that you should have to comply with ODAV and FAA. And so after getting more specific language from ODAV and some concerns from the applicant, we've modified it to say that using the notice criteria tool, which they use for buildings A, E, and F, they need to provide evidence that they do not exceed the notice criteria, and that if notice is required, they must provide confirmation that the aeronautical determination letters from the FAA and ODAV have been completed. And then the second piece is specific to the stormwater and industrial wastewater ponds. There had been some concerns raised, not on the record, but sort of informally, that the ponds may create a bird attractant. And the way our code is written, it requires that any more than a quarter acre bodies of water need to be more than 5,000 feet from the end of the runway. And then it also has a provision that says, like, if the airport sponsor FAA determine it to be a bird attractant, then more studies are required. And so after coordination with ODAV, this was the sort of recommendation that we landed on, that all they have to do is confirm that it's more than 5,000 feet from the end of the runway, since they don't trigger the notice criteria, and they the airport sponsor, which is the Port of Morrow, confirmed that that would not be a bird attractant.
How would they know that?
Yeah. That's what we had.
A large pond in a flyway?
I happen to know the guy who runs the Irrigan line, and there's a lot of ducks in there. So, I mean, how do you know?
Just an airport.
At the end of the day, we're not the experts on what creates a bird attractant, and our code defers to those agencies as well as the airport sponsor, and so we don't have sort of the authority to say it's a like bird attractant if those two authorities have like not requested further studies, essentially. So that 5,000 square foot is the sort of numerical like requirement that our code has, and so that is the only kind of provision that we can put on there definitively.
Okay, Daisy, thank you. That's very helpful. And all of those look fine as revised. And we should be able to provide some of that stuff right away, like the pond stuff. We already have that information, maybe just like with a line that's drawn in with a distance marker would be sufficient there. So,
right.
So, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say if anything changes with those permits, or if those ponds need to be larger or change location, that's our intention, is that it would still have to remain in compliance with that.
Yeah.
It should be set straight. Thank you.
Okay, so that, so we did submit a letter, but a lot of the first part of the letter is addressed by these revisions, so we can skip most of the first two, all of the first two pages, and part of the last page as well. And then the only, I think, remaining condition we wanted to address was the third-party permit condition. The sounds like the planning staff did include an option to defer the state agency permit requirement until occupancy, thus making it a subsequent condition, so it sort of moves from that paragraph one to the paragraph two. We would agree with that. Just to give you some additional information about this particular site, as noted, this is not a typical residential septic system. It's a larger septic system. There do have to be groundwater studies before DEQ approval. There's also annual approval and review. The septic has already been deemed feasible by DEQ. There's already been a hydrological report completed and accepted as well. I believe those have been provided to the county. And in general, you know, Daisy, spot on, and Tamara as well, this is not about trying to get around providing permits. This, obviously, the developer has every incentive to do all the due diligence ahead of time to ensure that these data centers are serviceable. It's a timing issue. And so we would request that this is moved down to a subsequent condition. And we'd also, we would request that, that either there's some changes or striking the language that the applicant provide agency evidence that the permits are in process and are expected to be approved or will be delayed. Third-party agencies do not typically commit to either a specific timing or issue or admit to delays or issue preliminary findings stating that they're likely to be approved. Usually it's just, you know, you and honestly, we're not even sure we would get a response to a request to a third-party agency in every instance if we were to request this type of information. Some third-party agencies would be hesitant to issue formal or technical information that isn't specifically authorized or where there isn't a form or a process. And we just wouldn't want to base compliance on a condition that's so uncertain. If there's a way to give you some assurance that, this, like I said here, we've got the feasibility, we've got certain things in place, but requiring kind of this sort of evidence from, I think we've got it for DEQ, but for the other ones, I'm just not even sure we would get a response from the agency. We just wouldn't want to risk non-compliance for failure to obtain a response from, a, like sort of an early response on a pending permit from a third party agency.
Understood.
So just strike that last sentence under what is currently G.
Yeah, exactly. We would just sort of have the entirety of G move.